We're going to do something for the next couple of weeks that how many of you know, you look at the lives of the people that are around you, you look at your past, I look at my parents' lives to see the things that they did well and the things they didn't do well, right? Like, I mean, y'all know my mom and dad, they do everything well, but sometimes they kind of, you know, it's okay, you know? I'm the same way. When we look through the scriptures, we find people in the Bible that are the exact same way. They have some very high times. They have great times, the successful times. Then they have the times where they're not the brightest tool in the shed. You know what I mean? At least they're in the shed, though, right? That's how I feel about it. That's how I feel about me sometimes. They didn't leave me in the yard. But it's one of those things that we look at their lives and we see different situations, different principles that they used in their lives that we can apply to our lives. Now, the situations may be totally different, but the principles are still the same. Just like I talked about where we get given, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Everyone uses that for an offering talk. But if you read the scripture around that, it has nothing to do with money, has everything to do with forgiveness. And that's what he's dealing with at that time, the way we're treating other people. And so, but guess what? The principle's still the same. Given, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. If I'm very nice to Christopher, guess what? Christopher's probably going to be pretty nice to me. If I'm a jerk to Christopher, what's Christopher going to do? He's going to be really nice because he's holy. But other people, right? Other people, right? We're going to be mean back. That's just how it works, right? And so there are principles that are all through the Word of God that we can take and put into our lives and use. And one of my favorite in the Bible to do this with is Joseph. Is to look at the life of Joseph. So we're going to be going through his life over the next couple of weeks and just seeing some things that he did, some things that he didn't do, how God works in situations. Because if he works that way in his life, guess what? He'll probably work that way in our life too. Close to it. Same principles, same God. So the same today, yesterday, and forever. Amen. We look in the scripture at Joseph, at Genesis, the 37th chapter. And we look at his life and we start talking about him and seeing where he was at. And it talks about in verse 1, Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Then it says, Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. Those are fun to say. With his father's wife. But if I say them like I know what I'm talking about, y'all don't know the difference, do you, right? I like it. Just go with it. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he was a son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw his father's loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. How many of you ever had issues where you could not speak peacefully with your brothers and your sisters? Y'all, it's in the Bible. It's okay. Sometimes it happens. We just got to get past it. Then in verse 5, man, it talks about now Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, hear this dream. I have dreamed. Well, there were seven. We were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, the sheaves arose and stood upright. Behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to mine. And his brothers said to him, are you indeed going to reign over us, or are you indeed going to rule over us? And they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream, and behold, his brothers said to him, Behold, I have another dream. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. But when he told this to his fathers and his brothers, his father rebuked him, saying, what is this dream you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come and bow ourselves to the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous, but his father kept this saying in mind. When we read this first part of Joseph, we see a couple of things. And the first thing I want you to check out in your notes and put down in your notes is this. You are never too young or too old to be used by God. We see a lot of people in the scripture that are teenagers. We see a lot of people that in scripture who are young. When you research it out and you look and see what's going on, you see Joseph here at the age of 17 when God first spoke to him. You see David, who was a ruddy youth, the scripture says. You see Timothy, that Paul talks to, who's preaching the gospel and running a church in the area. He says this, let no one despise your youth, but set an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and in purity. So don't let people look down on you. Don't give them a reason. Do everything you can to live right, to live according to what God has called you to live, and set an example for all of them. You know, and there's a lot of young people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's different ones that you see that God called out that started to use when they were very young. But then you see some older people that God used as well. Moses, we talked about Moses and Aaron a little while ago, Nick did. And this is what it says in Exodus 7, 6 through 9. It says, so Moses and Aaron did as the Lord had commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 when they made their demands to Pharaoh. God called Abraham to be the father of many nations in Genesis 17, 17. And this is what Abraham said to him. He said, Abraham said, can a man who is 100 have a child? He said, hey, you're going to have this seed. And out of this seed, all this is going to come. And he's like, he laughed and said, oh, seriously? Like, come on. Like, let's get real about the situation, God. How many of you have ever looked at the situation God gave you and said, come on, God, let's get real about this situation, right? You've seen and done things. And this is the thing about the dreams that God gives us. If they're big enough that we can do them ourselves, then they're not a God dream. If they're big enough that we can accomplish it without God's help, it's a good dream. It's not a bad one, right? If it promotes the kingdom of heaven, if it allows people to see Christ and come to know him, it's a good one. But if we can do it on our own, it's probably not from God. Why? Because God does things that we can use to show his glory, not our own. To show his power, his might, his strength, his provision in our lives and what he does for us, not what I get to do for everybody because I'm so holy, right? That's not the way that it works. And here with Joseph, we see these different things. we see him happy with what's going to happen. We see him say in throughout this whole story, God, I don't get what's happening, but I trust you in it. I don't get what's going on, but I'm still going to serve you in it. Why do we see that? Because we see when he goes into slavery, he ends up being what? The top slave, right? That means he wasn't worthless. He worked. He did the things that he should do. He had accountability. He had a work ethic. He had the things that God had given him, and he used those. Why? Because if he hadn't, he still would have been at the bottom of the pile, right? He goes into Potiphar's house, same situation that he raises up there. He goes into the prison. Guess what happens? He raises to the top ranks of the prison. He's there. He's doing the same thing. Why? I believe it's because he never took his eye off of God in the whole situation. And he understood, God, this is, I don't get it. But you said one thing and you're going to make it happen. I'm going to trust you in it. I'm going to trust you through the process of it. This is the thing. We can make excuses about anything. Well, there's different reasons. Well, I'm a woman or I can't do this. You know what? I love what Pastor John said about, he said it one time. He said, you know who the first people who proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ was? It was the women coming from the tomb saying he is risen. He is alive. He's not there anymore, right? I can't wait till Easter Sunday. But anyway, I'm celebrating it starting right now, right? Let me tell you something. You should celebrate it every day in your life. You should celebrate it every day. But anyway, there's a bunch of different reasons, a bunch of different excuses that we can use to not serve God. A ton of people did it in the Bible. You know, Jonah just didn't want to do it, so he ran away. But ultimately what happened? The dream God had, the plan God had for him came to pass. We can make excuses, we can make reasons, we can see the negative or the things that are wrong with us. Look at my past. I remember, man, when God called me, that was the main thing that hit me. I've told some of you guys about it, and I was prophesied over, and somebody said something. Well, it was before that, and God told me something, and I hit my knees, and I was praying, and I grabbed April. We were dating at the time, or engaged, or I don't remember where we were engaged to be married, and I said, hey, this is what God's calling me to. If you're gonna come with me, then we need to make sure we're ready together. We sat down. Then as soon as we prayed, and I was like, yes, this is amazing. I got hit in the chest with, you're not good enough. You can't do that. Don't you see your past? Don't you have this? What about this? What about that? It's a joke that you even think you can even think about doing those things. But see, this is the thing about God, man. He doesn't look at all the things that we look at as people. He doesn't look at, I'm a guy or I'm a girl or I'm this, I'm old, I'm young, I'm this, I'm that, or I'm, I. He doesn't look at all those things. He looks at your heart and he looks at the plan that he has already designed for you and for me. And all we have to do is walk it out. All we have to do is be obedient and follow him. The question is this, are we going to be obedient or are we going to make excuses as to why we can't do the things that God has designed for us and put in front of us, has put before us? Second thing that I want you to see in this story with his brothers is that nobody believed his dream, but it didn't stop God's plan. See, people don't have to believe in it. People don't have to believe in it. The only person that has to believe in God is you in your situations in your life. See, because you're the only one that can stop yourself from following God. You're the only one that can stop yourself from walking in the dream that God has given you. And it's through obedience. See, dreams don't make sense to people, and they'll try to talk you out of it. How many of you tried to do something, and you told somebody about it, and they're like, oh, well, I don't think this, and I don't think that, and maybe you probably shouldn't do that. Have you guys ever had that? I mean, I've had it tons of times, and sometimes I've been an idiot and listened, and sometimes I've been like, you know what? No, this is what I think's supposed to happen. I remember April and I were leaving a church one time, and dude, there wasn't anything wrong. There were no problems. There weren't any issues. We were kids pastors at the time, and I went to him, and I was like, man, we're supposed to go. And he's like, you really think that's wise? You really think that's smart? Where are you going? I'm like, I don't know. I just know we're supposed to go. And when we get there, we're going to get there, and we're going to look at each other and say, man, this is it. We're supposed to be here. And that's exactly how it happened. But you know what? I could have listened and said, you know what? That's not really wise. Maybe I need to sit here and count and do this and do that and wait until an opportunity opens for me to walk through it. Do you know how many people are waiting for their opportunity to open when God has said, go and do it? Look at the Israelites in the desert, right? They wandered for 40 years. Why? Because God said, go. And they listened to the excuses and said, man, maybe we'll just wait for you to open the door up even more, God. 40 years they wasted, a whole generation. Why? Because they listened to what other people said about their dreams, and they said the dreams that God had given them, the plan that God had given them, and they allowed themselves to be held off from that plan, from that purpose, from that dream. See, Jeremiah 29:11, everybody quotes this one, man, but it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and give you a hope. What is that future and that hope? It's in him. It's in him. It's in what he's done for you. It's in the grace that he has for you. It's in his provision. It's in what he has already laid out for us and given to us. And we need to accept it. We see Psalms 37:23-24. It says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hands. How many of you ever fallen flat on your face before doing what you thought was right? Right? I think I've done it more times than I'd like to admit, like I like to count. But it's one of those things, one of those situations. God never leaves me there. And the only time, and we're going to get into this in one of the weeks to come, so I don't want to go too far into it, but the only time that we fail is when we refuse to get back up and keep going, when we give up in the situation, when we allow the excuses to overcome the plan, the path, the things that God has for us, when we understand that he has us, we don't have any fear. Like Nick taught my daughter how to ride a bike, my oldest daughter how to ride a bike, because I would always let go and she'd be looking back at me. But for some reason, she trusted Nick more than she trusted me. I like that. I'm glad about that, Nick. But so this one here, my little one, Shelby, I go to teach her how to ride a bike and I'm holding on to it, man. And as long as she knows I have the back of it, she's good. She's totally fine. She'll ride all over everywhere. I just have to have my finger on it like this and she'll go to town. But as soon as I take my hand off and she knows what happens, She falls. Why? Because dad's not there to hold me. You know, the thing about our father is he's always there to hold us. He's always there to hold us. He's always there to make sure that we don't mess ourselves up too much, right? Sometimes we mess up and he allows it. Why? Because that's how we learn. I do that with my kids. Your parents probably did it with you. You probably did it with your kids. If you don't have kids yet, you will one day. Trust me. Hey, man, you're going to have to learn one way or another because I've told you and told you and told you, and you just ain't listening, right? That's what happens. I believe God sits up there in heaven. This is me about my father and just looks down and is like, see, I learn a lot of what I learned from God from my heavenly father from my earthly father. You guys, most of you guys know him. He's an amazing guy. But when I would mess stuff up, my dad, instead of yelling and screaming and jumping all over me, he'd just be like, "Oh, Tobe, what'd you do, man?" Right? I see my heavenly father up there as I mess things up, just looking down like, Tobe, what are you doing, man? Come on. Let me help you up and let's walk through this together. See, that's what our father does. And the plans and the purposes that he has for us, the things that we do, we need to walk through and understand that God is there and he's holding us, man. And he's just waiting on us to be obedient and believe him and follow his plan, follow his purpose, follow what he's called us to be. Number three in your notes, man, I want to remind you of this from this story. This principle is that God's plans aren't small, but they may have humble beginnings. I guarantee you, if God would have lined out, all right, man, you're going to go, you're going to be sold as a slave, and then you're going to be accused of rape and thrown in prison, and then I'm going to bring you to where you're going to run everything. Be like, God, isn't there some other way we can handle this? Like, can we change this around? I think your plan would be a little bit better, God, like this. I think that's a lot of times why God doesn't tell us his plan all up front. Why? Because like Abraham, we go and mess it all up, right? We have an Ishmael that we don't need when we should have just had Isaac, right? Jacob. We should have had all the way down to Joseph, the plan, the line. It's one of those situations. We need to understand that God's plans may start really little in our lives. May not be the big, bold, out front thing that we want or we see. Maybe some of you guys don't want the big, bold, out front thing, but that's what God's calling you to. Sometimes we're called to be outside of our comfort zone. But a lot of times it starts small. We look at Luke 6:10. It says, he was faithful in little is faithful also in much. And he was unrighteous in very little thing is unrighteous in very much. We look at the parable of the talents where we see how the faithfulness of the one who went out, who had five and gained five more, and the one who had two and gained two, then the one who had one and was unfaithful with it was taken away and give it to who? The one who had five. The one who did what was faithful with. See, the thing about our lives is the things that we need to start being faithful with are the little things, because all the little things add up to big things, right? All the little things add up to being larger things. You see Joseph walking through his life, and it wasn't the path that he had planned, the path that he had taken, but what did he say when his brothers sat before him, when they came to him and said, hey, we need these things? And he revealed himself as Joseph to his brothers. And I'm sure they were like, oh, no, we're going to die, right? Because of what we did. What did he say? He said, man, God sent me ahead of you to prepare this. Don't be angry with what happened, right? Don't be angry with what happened. God sent me here. This was his provision for our lives, our family. But you know what I think is crazy about that? The provision at that time was the bondage later that the Israelites were in. You guys realize that? They brought them to Egypt, and it was provision. But there was a time and a process where it ended up being a place that they didn't need. There are seasons for everyone and everything. There are times we're supposed to be here. There are times we're supposed to be there. There are times that we're in this ministry. There are times that we're not. We're pulled out of this ministry, and we're moved to this ministry. There's different seasons and times for all of us, and this is the thing. We got to understand that just because it starts small doesn't mean it's not God's plan. Just where can I start? What can I do? You know what? We need people bringing meals. We need people bringing meals. How big is that? How small is that? Can you make a meal? If I can't make a meal, I can at least go get a bucket of chicken. You know what I'm saying? I can at least do that. That's something that I can do. Why? And it's provision. It's helping. It's allowing God to use me in a way that I need to be used. You know what? We need some tech team people. We need some people to stand up there and help with the tech team so that the two or three guys that are up there all the time don't have to be up there all the time, and they can receive and enjoy. We need some people to do some different music. If you have a talent for musicians, we've got some, but we can always use some more, right? We have opportunities. We have kids ministry, man. We need some people in Sprouts, desperately need some people in Sprouts. And what is that all about? It's just about loving on little kids, man, and making them know the love of God, singing songs to them, going through a Bible study, a small Bible study with them. Like, well, I don't really know the Word of God to go to a Bible study. It's like they're toddlers. You know that much, I promise you, right? You can do that, man. It's available. We could use help in kids' church, man. We've got so many different areas that you can do. Like, well, I can't do any of that. You know what? You can come and meet me on a Saturday, and we can pick up trash at the church. Like, well, that's not very glamorous. No, but it needs to be done. It's a little thing. We could do it. We could do it. There's so many things and so many places that you could start small and allow God to use that and see your faithfulness and multiply it into something that's bigger. The last thing, then the last one that I want you to see is number four is make the most of the ride. Make the most of the ride. You know, because there's going to be some rough times. So Thursday I flew up to Louisiana to pick up do my taxes up there and pick up my wife and my kids. They were there. They had driven up 2 weeks before. So happy to get up there and see them. And then we jumped in the car on Friday morning first thing and headed back. So 10 and a half hours in the car. And how many times as you're driving down the road do you hear, "Are we there yet?" Like, if we were there, we'd have already been stopped. You know, we'd have been out and we're not there yet, right? And so many times we get that thought process in our life when we're talking to God and when we're going through the process and the trial and the trip that he has for us, the situations that he's bringing us to, the dream that he's given us of who we're going to be and what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, that sometimes we focus so much on the end game that we forget about the things that's going on, the enjoyment that we can have in the middle of our situation right now, right? Again, I use this all the time, but it's like going to the restaurant and you just want your food so you can get up out of there, but it's taking too long. Instead of being grumpy and mad about stuff, man, enjoy the people that you're with. Pour into their lives. Allow them to pour into your lives. Get to know them that much better. I'm the kind of guy, I'll talk to the table next to me, right? If it's, "Hey, you guys doing good over there? Man, that looks really good. What is it? Is that the best thing here on the menu?" You know, I'll do that. Anybody been out with me, you know. I was out with Nick and them, and we walked past. I'm like, "Hey, what is that you're taking to their table? That looks great." You know, it just enjoy the time that you have. Enjoy the people that are around you. You're like, "Well, I don't really know them." Whose fault is that? It's your opportunity, right? This is the time. Enjoy. See, this is the thing. God gave him the dream at 17. It was 30 years old before he stood in front of Pharaoh. And if you think about and you add the math up with all of those things, it was another 7 years of famine or a feast of good times before the 7 years of famine afterwards. And the brothers and the father came to him in the middle of the famine. So how many years is that? 17, 30 plus 7 and some, right? It's a long time. It was a long process. Sometimes the dreams God gives you and I, it's a process. But what happens in the process? We learn how we need to act in the middle of the dream, the end goal, right? Joseph, first coming out of shepherding, being a son that the kids didn't like, the brothers didn't like, having a favor of his father on his life with the coat and those different things and being a tattletale is what that says in the scripture, right? Because he ran and told his dad about the things that weren't happening. Why? Because he was a man of character and he said, "Hey, these things not all be so." You know what? There's some things that are happening today that you and I need to stand up and say, "These things not all be so." That's another side. That's a whole nother story. I'll come back. But see, there was a process. If God would have taken him straight from watching the sheep and put him in Pharaoh's court and said, "Okay, run everything," you think he'd have been able to do it at 17? Mm-mm. What happened? God gave him opportunities to learn, to grow, to say, oh, this is how that works. Oh, this is how this should work. That should how that work. So the character with the that he's already been given, that he had inside of him, with the wisdom that God gave him through the things that he went through, the situations that he walked through in his life, allowed him to be ready to do those things. Allowed him to be ready to do what God called him to do. So see, there's a process. How much did he learn by running Potiphar's house in prison that prepared him to rule the country? How many things can you learn on the ride, on the trip, from where you're at to where God is calling you to, that you can use to get you ready to do what he's called you to do? Like, well, I'm not good at talking in front of people. Well, you know what? Get in a small group, man. Get here on Wednesday nights and start talking in front of the three or four or five of us that are here. Get used to it. Start reading your Bible out loud. Start doing these different things. Well, I'm not comfortable standing in front of people. Well, you're not ever going to get comfortable standing in front of people unless you start doing it, right? You're never going to get comfortable until you start doing it. And then when you start doing it, guess what? You know what? You know where I lost being, of course, I don't know that I ever had a fear of being in front of people, but you know where I learned how, why are y'all laughing at that, man? That's not nice. You know where I learned how to do things and to speak and to read the Word of God and to talk to people about stuff? Kids' church, man. I did it for 4.5 years. That was my first ministry. April and I did it. I jumped up and down, act like a fool, and just kids loved it. And we talked about Jesus, and it was amazing. And lives were changed. God changed lives. Why? Because that's what he does when we're obedient. When we allow him to use us, man, we get to see the fruit of what he does. And we get to enjoy it. You know how many kids I still see that are still serving God? There's some that aren't, but you know how many adults now that were kids that are serving God, and I get to see and just be proud of them and what God has done in them. It's not me. It's God and what he's done in them. You know how many teenagers I see that are still serving God and doing stuff? There's some that aren't, but this is the thing. I believe that they were trained right. They know right. And I know from experience that one day they're going to wake up and be like, man, this is not what I want to be. It's not where I want to be. I remember that fat guy who used to jump around on stage and be crazy. He told me this. And I believe him. God, if that's who you truly are, change me. And the process happens. You know what? That's a dream God had given me. Being here is a dream God had given me. But if he'd put me here when he first gave me that dream, all y'all would have left. I'm just saying, wouldn't none of y'all be here right now, right? It's a process. Enjoy the process. And understand that God is always with you. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes.